Welcome back, everyone. This morning, we are just continuing from where we were last week. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 last week, where Paul was wrote a letter to the Corinthians and just was talking to them about their calling and divisions in the church that, you know, he was deeply concerned about. And so he was writing to them to address those issues. And we talked about, how can a house stand if it's divided? I mean, there is no power in the church if nobody can agree on who Jesus is and what he said and what our purpose is in the church. We also talked briefly about some of the things that cause division in the church. And, you know, and this week, I'd like to just talk about in chapter 2, it kind of just continues on with more or less the cure for division, what would keep the church from being divided. And that was Paul's concern as he went through Asia and Europe teaching the gospel. It's amazing how as soon as Jesus came and taught us about our Father and his kingdom, and then he went back home, that the enemy came right in and started spreading lies and trying to destroy what Jesus had given us. So, and it just began immediately. So here's Paul trying to get people to understand what Jesus had come and done. In 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, towards the end of it, he was telling them, that anybody who glories, let him glory in the Lord and what he's done. And in chapter 2, it goes on. I want to just read the text. He said, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words with man's wisdom, which man's wisdom teaches, but with the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So Paul, as he was reminding the people in Corinth that these divisions were hurting the church rather than helping it. And, we talked about some of the things that caused the division. Baptism was the one that he addressed here, and people's calling and spiritual gifts. And he asked them, is Christ divided? And he's not. Christ, is Christ. And that was the point he was making. Did Jesus, die for you, or did Paul, or did Apollos? He was trying to get their attention back where it belonged. So he said, I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he said, I don't know anything except Jesus crucified. Now, Paul had studied under Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee, and he was a very educated man. And he could have come with excellent speech and wisdom of words, but he didn't. He came with the gospel of God. He said that he was, you know, he excelled above all his contemporaries in the law. And he taught, you know, he went around teaching the law. But when he heard about the church, he went and he persecuted the church. And the thing I love about Paul was that he was zealous for God. He was zealous for the truth. And he believed he was being taught the truth. He believed he knew the truth until he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. And then when he found out the truth, the real truth, he was just as zealous for the truth, just as zealous for Jesus as he was for the law. So that's what I liked about him. He didn't change. He loved the truth. And even though he didn't know the truth, he was what he thought was the truth, he was zealous for that. But he wasn't so zealous for that that he wasn't willing to hear the truth. So here he is telling them that what it comes down to is Christ crucified. And that's it. To know Jesus, he said. He said, I don't claim to know. I determined not to know anything among you except Christ crucified. The word tells us that, you know, our salvation isn't in doing. It's in being. It's in knowing Jesus Christ. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that you know him, the true and living God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom he sent. That's where eternal life is. That's what eternal life is knowing him. If you don't know him, he can't teach you anything. So knowing him was the important thing. And he said, those who have the Son have life. So we've all learned that we were dead in our trespasses and sin until we believed Jesus, and then we received life. So no one has life if they don't have the Son. So he said, Jesus Christ and him crucified. I mean, to know about Jesus Christ is one thing. It's the crucifixion that changed everything. Because without the sacrifice, without the shedding of blood, we would still be dead in our trespasses and sins. So Jesus did what was necessary for us to be saved. So he came declaring the testimony of God. And he told them, he said, you know, I want that you all should have the same testimony, that we should all be speaking the same thing. The word testimony translates to mystery. And the gospel was a mystery to the Jews. They were under the covenant of the law. And God had not revealed to them. Well, he had. He was trying to tell them, show them throughout all of their history what he was trying to do. But it was still a mystery to them. So now this mystery was being revealed to them. Some were accepting. Some were rejecting. So the hidden truth of Jesus Christ and salvation through him rather than through the law. You'd think that they would have learned by now that there's no way they could keep the law and have it, you know, be righteous enough to be accepted into God's presence. So it was a mystery, and it was now being revealed through Jesus, but it was always the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We've been going through the Old Testament on Monday nights, and, you know, it's like, you know, hearing God telling mankind, you know, who he is, and how much he loves them, and what he wants for them, you know. And then the New Testament was like, well, you know, here it is. This is what I want to do for you. You obviously haven't been listening. But he's so patient to keep repeating himself and keep showing himself for who he can't. He has to. That's who he is. He doesn't give up on us. We give up on him. So he keeps, as long as we have breath in us, he keeps trying to bring us to the knowledge of the truth. And that's what he was doing through all of these people, through Paul and Peter and John and James and all these people that believed him. He was just, you know, through them, he was pleading with mankind to understand. So Paul had determined, resolved to decide not to know anything among them except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the gospel. That's the good news. You know, John 3:16, that's the gospel in a nutshell. Whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Why? Because God so loves the world. If we didn't know anything but that, that would be enough for us to have peace and joy in our lives. If we knew that, if that was, you know, the foundation, if Jesus Christ was the foundation we're standing on, then this would be all the gospel we need. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That tells me that, you know, God is not mean and angry. That tells me that God cares. Yeah, he understands that things are not the way he wants them to be here. But he still loves me, and he made a way for that to be changed. So it's a simple but a powerful message. It's so simple, a child can understand it. Thank you, Father. Yet it's so profound that people spend their lives looking into that. And I have to tell you that the longer I've been walking with him, the more, I don't even have the right adjective to explain it. I am just so marveled by who he is. He's bigger than I can ever imagine that he is. There's more to him, to who he is, to what he wants, than I can comprehend in my present state. But you know what? I am always just so excited to learn as I go along. And this, he's always teaching me something new, whether it's through his word or through somebody that knows him. That's what I love about the kingdom of God. That's what I love about his family, is it's growing, and it never stops until he perfects it. And one day it is. It's going to be a perfect kingdom, a perfect family. And that's the day we're looking forward to. You know, there are those who confess that, yes, Jesus died for my sins. God loves me, and he sent his son to die for me, and he died for me, and he rose from the dead. Yay, I'm going to heaven. But there's just so much more once that happens. I don't understand why some people are just satisfied with that. God wants the relationship afterwards. He wants us to continue to grow into citizens of heaven. He wants to see his children to grow up to be like him. And, you know, there are some who are just, I'm not going to burn, you know. Pastor Randy Cahill said, you know, some people are going to get into heaven with, you know, wearing smoking jackets. And there are those of us who are going to be getting in wearing our wedding garments. So it's a simple message, but it's the power of God to salvation. God wants the relationship, and he made it very simple for us to understand. So Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I was with you in weakness and fear and in much trembling. He came, you know, that doesn't sound like Paul to me. Paul always seemed like he was very bold, very sure of himself, always knew what he was talking about. But, you know, he had just come from these places where, well, he and Silas were just imprisoned for preaching the gospel. And, of course, in Athens, you know, when he went there, everybody, you know, all the philosophers, and they had so many different religions and deities and gods that they worshiped. And he saw that one that said to the unknown God, and that's the one he wanted to talk to them about. But he was always persecuted. He was imprisoned, beaten for preaching the gospel. And now here in Corinth, you know, he's telling me, I was in much fear and trembling because ever since he had been converted, even the Jews were trying to kill him because he was, one of their top guys, you know, the Pharisees. He was Gamaliel's star student. And now the church that he persecuted was the church that he was now giving his life for. So that made them look bad. So they didn't want him standing around making them look bad. But he was with them in weakness and fear and in much trembling. I like that, you know, he confessed his weakness because Jesus said that in your weakness I'm made strong. So in his weakness and his humility, God could use him to do the great things that he did. So Paul was more than willing to be weak and afraid so that God could have his way through him. So he said his speech wasn't preaching with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of power in the Holy Spirit. Like I said, Paul could certainly have come and pontificated and gave a great speech. And of course, there in Corinth, where there were philosophers and wisdom seekers, he may have actually convinced some to believe. But he was more determined to let the Spirit of God do the work. You know, I love it that Hebrews chapter 4, it says that the Word of God is alive and powerful and is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And not only that, the Word is always the truth. That it accomplishes everything that God sends it forth to do. It doesn't just bounce off the walls and go back to Him. It hits somebody right in the heart and says, yeah, you know, that's what happened to all of us. God spoke something to our hearts that made us understand that He's our helper. He's our Father. He's our God. That there's more to life than what we're seeing with our eyes. So I love that he goes to great lengths to prove that also. And he uses weak things of this world to do it, and the not mighty and the not so wise to prove it. So he didn't come to persuade them with his own words. He came with God's words and let the power of the Spirit do what he wanted to do. And he did this, like he said, you know, he could have got up there. He was a wise man. He was very educated. And he could have got up there and had, everybody, you know, looking at him. But that's why he let the Word of God have its way so that people would look to God and not to him. Because the Spirit of God was way more powerful and way more convincing and influential than anything he could do or say. He didn't want people following him. He wanted people to look to God. So he says that he does speak wisdom to the mature. So, you know, once they have received the truth of God's love for them and their salvation through Jesus Christ, those that have, you know, gone on to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, those who have matured, they're not little babies anymore. They're understanding the love of the Father for them. That he could speak words of wisdom, he could speak wisdom to them because they would understand that it was God's wisdom. Like we talked about last week, the wisdom of this world, you know, is foolishness to those who are perishing. I mean, the wisdom of God is foolishness to those who are perishing. So to those who are mature in their faith, wisdom is a builder. It builds on the relationship with God. So obviously, Paul knew that they were not as mature as he had hoped they would be. In chapter 3, we see that they were still working on the foundational truths of their salvation, and Paul couldn't speak to them as mature, so he had to assure them that they were in a bad place. These divisions were stunting their growth as children of God. They were still being fed the elemental foundation of the truth. He said he wasn't speaking the wisdom of this age. Of that age, the wisdom of that age was wisdom, the truth, finding in the truth, you know, knowing about everything, knowledge, actually, and power. And, of course, that's pretty much the wisdom of this age, too, is power, influence, money. That was not the wisdom that Paul came with. Paul came with the wisdom that there is a world separate from this one. And that's the one that God wants us to be with him in. So the wisdom of this world was not what he came with. He said that the wisdom of the rulers of this age, of the age that he was in. And of course their wisdom was, you know, do what I say. You know, their wisdom was having control over the populace. And again, look at today. Our governments want, you know, they just want to have control over the people. It's not about the good of the people anymore. I don't think it ever really has been as far as world leadership goes. I think it's all been about control and power. You get the rare person in leadership who is actually concerned about the people, but as soon as he makes his voice known and doesn't fall right in line with the status quo, he's ostracized and destroyed, and he's taken out of any kind of influence at all. So Paul said he was speaking the wisdom that God had predetermined and kept the mystery since the beginning. This was God, you know, that's another thing that I forget is that, you know, God had this plan before he created mankind. He knew. I mean, he knew what was going to happen. You know, and when he created everything and he knew that, how can I even comprehend why God would even create anything knowing all this stuff was going to happen? But that's who he is. You know, he wanted a family. He wanted a people who were going to choose him out of whatever happened, that they were going to choose him and his ways and love him back over everything else. So there is wisdom in that, too. Just because I can't comprehend it, but I do comprehend the love that would do that. Probably not completely, but I do understand that that's what keeps me wanting to be close to him. And he said that he did it for our glory. Speaking the wisdom of God, predetermined and kept a mystery since the beginning, for our glory, for us. That's why God did this. So that that word glory, I looked up and it sounds like the heart of God. He said, for our glory, for our reputation, our praise, our honor, our splendor, our light, our perfection, our rewards, both temporal and eternal. That's what God wants for us. It's always for, you know, that's the love that he has for us, that love that I could not understand for so long was that the love for me that was wanted what was good for me. Not always what I wanted, because a lot of the things I wanted were not good for me. But everything he wanted for me that was good for me. And all of these things that he had kept that had been a mystery was now being revealed. And the way that he was revealing it was a way that only God could do it, and probably the only way that we would understand. In verse 8, he said, if they had known the wisdom of God, they would have known that Jesus, you know, that they wouldn't have crucified the Lord. But, you know, when you think about it, the Pharisees, the Jews, the Jewish religious leadership, Pontius Pilate, they knew who Jesus was. Jesus told them straight out, I'm God, the Son of God. And I believe that the Jewish leaders knew it, and I believe that's part of the reason why they wanted to kill him. Because they knew that if Jesus became the religious leader, if Jesus was the Messiah, then they no longer had a job. They were, you know, they had no power, no influence, and they just didn't want to give that up. I believe that's why they pursued so hard in just tearing him down and trying to destroy him. So if Pilate, I believe he knew too, his wife came to him and said, you know, have nothing to do with this righteous man, because I've had a dream about him. I believe that he was warned and that he knew who he was condemning. So if they knew who he was, then they wouldn't have put him to death, but they did. So I don't think, you know, these are the people that Paul is talking about here. I think these people, the ones that Paul is talking about here, the leaders and the rulers, I believe are, you know, the rulers of this age are the same rulers of this age. And I believe that's the principalities and the powers, Satan and his minions, who influence most of the world, the people who have not had the veil lifted and understand the love of God for them. I believe these are the ones. I believe if Satan knew that what he was doing, that influencing these people to have Jesus crucified, of course, I don't think he knew that was God's plan.